Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, Father's Day. As we head into Father's Day weekend, we'll explore ways to be an awesome dad. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today on More to Life, we are talking about Father's Day. As we head into Father's Day weekend, we want to explore ways to be an awesome dad. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We have two questions today. One for our male listeners, one for our female listeners.
Oh, how clever.
So for the for the men, we are starting with, you know, what challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be? For the ladies, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the man God is calling him to be? Either way, we want to support you as we head into this Father's Day weekend. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I think both of these questions can be so, so difficult in these very trying times, because certainly it's hard enough in a normal, traditional family for fathers to be able to be the dads they want to be, for moms to be able to support their children's father in a way that allows the children to have the best possible experience of fatherhood and that father to have the best experience of being a dad. And then there are so many new challenges today. Families that are not living under the same roof for whatever reason. Families that are trying to make a go of it with two people working so much of the time to try to make ends meet that you barely get a chance to see your kids. People are often calling us, and most of us deal with this in one way or another, where you're trying to be that best parent and do what we're talking about here, but you didn't have the best role models. You know, maybe dad was not around, or he wasn't the kind of dad you really want to model yourself after, or have your children's father model himself after. Perhaps you just don't feel like you know what you're doing some days. That's okay. We're all learning as we go and struggling. But if you're dealing with this, and maybe Father's Day comes around and you're feeling a little about it, for whatever the reason is, we're here to help you through that today and come out better and stronger and feeling more connected to God the Father and to your family. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, yesterday, Al Cresta's been on vacation all week, and yesterday I was guest hosting Cresta in the afternoon. In the first segment, we talked through my book, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, as sort of a lead-up to our second segment, which was an interview with Joe Heschmeyer, who wrote a great book called A Man Called Joseph, Guardian for Our Time, all about St. Joseph. But, you know, as I was going through each of the Beatitudes in relation to how do the Beatitudes help men be fathers after the Father's own heart, you know, it was, you know, really, really hitting me, you know, how difficult it is to be a godly dad and all the challenges that we face, whether that's in our relationship with our spouse or in our relationship with our kids, you know, to be a different kind of dad as a Christian dad. You know, one who, well, you know, the first beatitude is blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first beatitude, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. What does that mean? Well, you know, one of the point that I make in the book is none of us know what we're doing as dads. None of us know what we're doing. Being a dad requires on-the-job training, right? And Christian dads are called to not pretend that we know what we're doing, that we need to be humble enough to say, you know what, I'm learning. And the best way to learn is to first listen to God, listen to what my wife needs, and listen to what my children need. You know, it's not my job to just go off by myself into the wilderness and come up with an agenda for my wife and my children and just impose it on them.
And sometimes that wilderness takes the form of a book you've read that tells you how to parent somebody else's family because the author doesn't know yours, or a men's conference that tells you if you just do A, B, and C, everything in your family will come together and do it with great masculine vigor. And then you get home and you realize it doesn't work for the personalities that God has graced you with in your family. But when you have this idea of a dad, and frankly a mom, who's poor in spirit and we're listening, that's when really, as I was listening to you host Al's show yesterday, I really thought about this a lot. This is how we develop a sainthood like St. Joseph's, where we become more easily prompted by the Holy Spirit when it comes to being the parent, the dad we want to be, that we're listening as St. Joseph did, maybe even in our sleep. You know, Joseph was so open to God's promptings that he listened to God all the time, even in his sleep, where he was able to rise from his bed and just do what God asked him to do.
Actually, you know, I mentioned that I was interviewing Joe Heschmeyer yesterday on Al's show, who's the author of a book, A Man Called Joseph. And he gave that example exactly, and that ties into, in my book, the Beatitudes, blessed are the dads who are meek. Now, you know, in current language, meekness tends to mean weakness. You know, meekness tends to mean, you know, being kind of wishy-washy. But that's not the origin of the word. To be meek comes from a Greek word that describes a well-trained war horse. So a horse that is not spooked in battle and who is sensitive to its rider's commands. And St. Joseph certainly was that. So sensitive to the Lord's commands that even in his sleep, he was attentive to what God was asking him to do to lead his family. And that's another thing that dads are called to be. You know, as we listen, as we embrace that poverty of spirit to say, we don't know what we're doing, so we need to listen to God. We need to listen to our wife. We need to listen to our kids. That's where the meekness comes from, where we learn to be these well-trained war horses who are not spooked, you know, in the battle for our families, and who are ready to respond to our rider's command to be able to do what the Lord asks us to do at any given moment. But, you know, those are ideals, but it's hard to get to that. But that's what we're aiming for, you know, to be fathers after the Father's own heart, to live out those beatitudes, if you will. And that's kind of those are the things we're talking about today on More to Life. How do we be fathers after the Father's own heart? And for the women out there, how do you support your men in being the men that God is calling them to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Every day here on More to Life, we take a look at how the theology of the body applies to what we're discussing today and how it applies to all of our everyday life. And as we ramp up here for Father's Day, the theology of the body reminds us that men and women are complementary to each other. God has created subtle but very important differences into the bodies of men and women that allow them to give different gifts to their children. For instance, while the presence of a loving mother stimulates the stress management centers of a baby's brain, the presence of a loving father stimulates the centers of the baby's brain that regulate aggression.
And working together, moms and dads are able to stimulate baby's brain in ways that help them to be mature in both managing stress and aggression. Research also shows that children of involved fathers tend to have better vocabularies. And that's because dads tend to use less baby talk with kids. And although the baby talk that moms allow children to, or excuse me, mom, the baby talk that moms use allow children to learn to speak more quickly, the fact that dads don't use that baby talk enable them to develop better vocabularies.
Again, it's that complementary style. It's not that one or the other parent should give up their style. It's that God gave this child two parents with different styles that actually help that baby's brain develop more fully.
And, you know, again, with regard to faith and moral development, you know, faithful moms help lay the foundation of their children's faith and basic moral reasoning. But faithful dads increase the likelihood that their kids will know how to live their faith and morals in the world and own their faith as adults. You know, although many people believe that parents are interchangeable, and many others believe that it's only moms that really matter for the child's healthy development, science is clear. Moms and dads matter. And today we're talking about what it takes to be an awesome dad and give all the gifts that men have to give to our children. So let's talk it out. What challenges, men, do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be, the father that you feel you're being called to be, and the struggles that you face in doing that? For the women, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your kids in being the man God is calling him to be? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, today we bring to you all the fathers. As we go into this Father's Day weekend, we bring into prayer all of the fathers that you have blessed with children. And we ask you to be that inspiration for all of us. Help us to learn from your Beatitudes, to be fathers after the Father's own heart. Help us to be poor in spirit and acknowledge that we don't know what we're doing, but we're eager to learn. Help us to be meek, that we might be able to be those well-trained war horses, ready to respond to our rider's command as we attempt to lead our families into deeper relationship with each other and with you. Help each of us to be the men you call us to be the husbands that we're meant to be the fathers that our children need us to be, and that you long for us to be, so that we can bring your face to our children. And bless all the women who are listening today, that they might be able to support the men in their lives in being the fathers that we are all called to be, whatever stage of life we happen to be in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, we are heading into Father's Day weekend with our show titled Father's Day, as we talk about what it takes to be an awesome, godly dad. And first, for the men, we're asking, what challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be, the father you feel that you're being called to be? And for the women, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your kids in being the man God is calling him to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rochelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hey, Rochelle, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing great.
We're good. What can we do for you today?
Great. So I'm a stepmom of a lovely 16-year-old girl, and she is living with us full-time. Her mom is in the picture, but she's not living with her at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm married to my husband 5 years. We've been together 11 years, so I've been in this child's life for most of her life. And so she has... She and my husband have been baptized Catholic. My stepdaughter has received her first communion and first penance, but is no longer going to church. Dad's not coming to church with me. I'm struggling with it because my wish and my prayer is that they would both receive their confirmation in the church together. And I'm just looking for prayers and advice to.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I and in your focus, you know, I don't want them to just be confirmed. I want them to be on fire for the Lord, right? So I'm sure that's where you want to get them there.
Absolutely.
So what happens when you try to bring up the idea of faith and living faith in your family? What happens with your husband? Let's start there.
Just shuts right down. Just doesn't want to talk about it. Not his thing, you know.
So let me just broaden this out for a second and talk about any other thing besides religion here. If you guys don't see eye to eye, are you able to bring those things to him and have him receive that better? And you guys talk through things to come to a mutually satisfying solution?
Yes, in most cases, absolutely. We're very good communication.
Go ahead. Well, the reason I ask that, because a lot of times whenever people present this problem, what it is, it's a struggle on the non-faithful spouse's part to accept influence in general, that it becomes a flashpoint in religion because you're not willing to bend on that or capitulate on that, or, you know, just sort of, but you're saying that's not the case here?
We have wonderful communication. It's just when it comes to living the faith, it's just not. He just grew up in a household that wasn't, you know, regular churchgoers, and
But here's the thing, like, when the reason, okay, I'm going to push on this a little bit more. There are lots of people who are in the same situation that you're describing. Okay, they're married to somebody who wasn't raised to be faithful or whatever, but because they respect, you know, because they respect their spouse, and respecting their spouse means I work hard to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things you find true, good, and beautiful. So even if it's not my thing, you know, I recognize that there must be something in it because you love it. So I'm going to come alongside of you and do the best I can. You know, I might limp along, you know, but I'm going to try. But you're not describing that. You're describing somebody who's sort of got an antagonism toward that. So I'm trying to understand, in other areas of your life where you guys don't see eye to eye, you know, does he tend to shut down and be antagonistic in that way, or is, you know, is he really that receptive except about this? And why is he antagonistic here? What's the difference there?
Well, I mean, I would say we're in good communication about most things. You know, it's just I just feel like he's given me lip service at times about, you know, coming to church, special occasions, or...
So I need you to make this a real issue. Then if that's really true, if it's really true that he respects you, generally speaking, then I need you to make this more of an issue, all right? And make this an issue of respect. To be able to say, look, honey, I understand that you're not in the same place that I am. I accept that. But the reality is this is important to me. And if you love me, I need it to be important to you, too. I understand that you won't be in the same place. I'm fine with that. I understand that you're going to struggle with that. That's fine. We'll talk through those things. But if you really do love me and respect me, then I need you to work hard to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in that, and do as much as you can with me. So we'll be going to church on Sundays. We'll be praying together every day. We're going to be doing those things, and we're going to talk through the struggles that you're having with this. If you find that he can't do that, then it really is a respect issue. All right. And that really requires you to start seeking some marriage counseling, because I think that there's a dynamic here that you're not really aware of, that you're going to need to really face in him helping him learn to what therapists call accept influence, to be willing to open up his heart to you, to be able to receive the good things that you want to bring to the relationship. But for whatever he's resistant to, in a healthy relationship, you know, like I said, there are lots of couples who have this same dynamic, but where there's that basic respect, the less faithful spouse is at least willing to come along with and support their mate as best they possibly can. The fact that he's shutting down to that suggests to me that there's something more going on here.
Well, one of the things that I want to suggest, Rochelle, is that let's go with the everything's great except when it comes to religion. I'm hearing you pick a lot of touch points about our faith that you want to see happen. I want him to go to Mass with me. I want them to receive their confirmations. Those are touch points that are sort of the, if you will forgive the very poor analogy, the star on top of the Christmas tree. You may not be getting the acceptance of influence from your husband that you want to have, because you're not feeling brave enough to influence him very much. And instead of just concentrating on the star, I'd really like to see you do something that, Greg, you kind of shoved in there. I want to make sure we bring it out. You need to be living the faith in your home so you can be having these conversations. The three of you need to be praying with each other daily. The three of you need to be celebrating your faith together and talking every day about where did we see God in moments of our day, so that your husband and his daughter can begin to have an experience, a living experience of God in their daily life. So when they go to the sacraments, it becomes something that nourishes that and also celebrates that. But going to church, receiving a sacrament, any sacrament, including confirmation, without that deep personal relationship, that living faith, it's sort of that clanging bell. You're asking him to make a leap he's not quite ready to make, maybe because he hasn't really developed that personal relationship with God.
Well, and so there's too much to get into in the time that we've got here. So I want to give you two resources to follow up. First of all, Praying for and with Your Spouse, a book we did with the Word Among Us Press, Praying for and with Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which is really going to talk to you about how do you overcome the resistance to a more prayerful home life? How do you overcome that tendency for him to just shut down when you're facing this? So we talk about, you know, praying for and with your spouse. We talk about, you know, both praying with your spouse and praying in relationships where you're unequally yoked. The other book I want you to pick up is Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, which is really going to talk about how to do this as a family as well. But, you know, Lisa's absolutely right on. The faith needs to be more a part of the daily life. And I think you've just begun to scratch the surface of real intimacy in your relationship. And I want to challenge you to go deeper in general, because there's more going on here than meets the eye. Those two resources will help take you to the next steps, though. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We've got to go to a break. But when we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about fatherhood on this Father's Day edition of More to Life. What challenges, men, do you face in your attempts to be the father you want to be, the father that you feel you're being called to be? And for the women, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the man God's calling him to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are heading into Father's Day weekend with our show titled Father's Day. And we're talking about what it takes to be an awesome, godly dad. And I think it's harder than ever in many ways to be that awesome, godly dad. So we're asking all the men who are listening, what challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be? The man that your wife is asking you to be, the father that your children need you to be, the father that God the Father is calling you to be. And for all the women who are listening, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the man God's calling him to be? And, you know, I'm looking at our board. We only have about a minute, so I don't want to go to calls just yet. We'll come back after this next break. But, you know, I'm looking at the board, and it's mostly women who are calling in today. And I want to put a challenge out there to you men. You know, it's hard for us to stop and even ask directions, much less call in a show and say, you know, hey, okay, I've got this challenge as I'm trying to be a godly dad. But I, you know, and I get that. But let's go back to that first Bedatitude. Again, in my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. The first Bedatitude is, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. And as men, as Christian men, we need to get over ourselves. We need to be willing to say, I really want to be everything that my children need me to be, but I don't know where to start. You know, we do have this tendency to feel, I had a guy come up to me at a men's conference once and say, you know, I realize I'm supposed to be the head of my household, but how do I know? How do I know what to do? And of course, the answer was, ask your wife and children what they need. But we're afraid to do that. So, man, I'm giving you a little challenge here. What challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be, the father God is calling you to be? 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this. Stick around.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly, and most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on our show is titled Father's Day. As we head into Father's Day weekend, we're putting a call out to all the dads. What challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father you want to be? The father that you feel you're being called to be? Or for that matter, if you are doing some things that are working, you know, as a faithful dad, that you'd like to offer some thoughts about what you'd love, well, the wisdom that you've gained along the way and you'd like to share with other dads, we'd love to hear from you too. For the ladies, we're asking, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the man God is calling him to be? Either way, we want to hear from you at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825.
Sorry about that. But it is a good reminder that it is Father's Day this Sunday. Do something to honor the fathers in your life. They deserve it. And I have to say, I had the funniest experience, or actually one of our kids did, last Father's Day, where one of her friends came into class the day after Father's Day at an activity. And The kid was shocked, just shocked. I mean, this is a 15-year-old kid, totally shocked. He's like, I just didn't even know. I got up on Sunday morning, and everybody in the house was kind of all over the place, and I knew something was going on, and I said, what's going on? And he said, all of a sudden, my sister looked at me and said, it's Father's Day, goofball, and it's also Dad's birthday. Now, this guy had no clue that it was any of these things. That's because mom didn't sit everybody down and say, hey, we're going to honor dad this weekend. It's Father's Day and his birthday, and let's make a deal out of this. We have to remember to honor the dads in our lives for all they mean to us. And so it's a good reminder. If you heard a Word of Life this morning and you went, what? That's this Sunday?
Well, now you know.
Here's your public service announcement, guys. But if you're struggling to be the dad you want to be, if you want to know how to get dad to be in a place where he feels like a great dad and is being that great dad, if you're the woman in his life, give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Reg, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Reg. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, hello, hello, Dr. Greg. Hello, Lisa. We've talked before, excuse me, several times about fatherhood and specifically lost fatherhood.
Yeah.
I'm a man who has lost a child to abortion back in 1976, and I've carried that weight for a long, long time. And now I'm working with Project Joseph, a group that helps men who have been like that. And the thing about lost fatherhood is you never actually lose fatherhood. You're a father forever if you have a child, whether that child is in heaven or sitting on your lap. Now, to be a good dad, excuse me, I'm sorry about this.
There you go.
I feel that to be a good dad, when your partner becomes pregnant, you need to resist abortion. You need to offer support to the mother and the child. The woman doesn't want to hear, oh, it's your choice, honey. I will respect whatever you do, because that's the same thing as saying it's not my problem.
Yeah, and it really negates the humanness of the child, doesn't it? It automatically says to her, the baby doesn't really matter.
Yes, but what the woman wants to hear is, I love you and our child, and I will protect our family. And that we need to support that. This in the year of St. Joseph, we need to look to him for guidance for fatherhood.
Amen.
It was Joseph, most chaste, most prudent, most strong, most courageous, most obedient, and most faithful. We try to instill those things into men in Project Joseph. In fact, we have a Zoom talk that's coming up the week after Father's Day on September.
Hey, Reg, I was actually trying to look up Project. Do you guys have a website?
Yes, we do. It's ProjectJosephDallas.org.
Okay, so it's a local Dallas thing. That's what I was
but
wondering.
Of course, thanks be to God for the internet. We can all get that, right? So so give it to us one more time, Reg, because that sounds like an excellent Zoom call for our audience to know about.
Yeah, the information about the Zoom call can be found on ProjectJosephDallas.org.
Excellent.
And even though it is done here locally in the Diocese of Dallas, we have men calling us from Louisiana, from Canada who called me the other day.
Sure.
We get them coming from all over the place because we're...
It's a wonderful resource. Thank you for that.
It's such an important resource. And, Reggie, bring up something that's so, so important. We can't emphasize enough that men need to start taking back their fatherhood. Men have been sidelined since abortion has been made legal, and it's really limited their influence, as you have said, to protect their fatherhood as well as their child and their child's mother.
Well, and what does that mean to protect our fatherhood? So I actually, in Bedatitudes, I wrote the book not just for fathers who are fathers. I wrote the book for all men at every stage, because the theology of the body makes it clear that our fatherhood and motherhood is always in front of us. It's always part of us, even before we have children. We're called to be, actually, our spiritual fatherhood and motherhood precedes biological fatherhood and motherhood. What does that mean? It means that we recognize that we are created by God to always be working for the good of others, to be using our gifts to nurture others and to help each other grow and flourish in any way we can. That is spiritual motherhood and fatherhood. And we need to do a better job as Catholic families to raise our boys to know that at every stage of life they are preparing to be fathers of some sort or another.
Exactly. And as you said, Greg, if we don't prepare our young men for that, we won't have men be able to answer the call to the priesthood either, which is about fatherhood.
Well, you know, and Reg, you know, was saying, you know, if something happens and, you know, your girlfriend gets pregnant or your wife is pregnant and you guys aren't ready, you know, or you feel like you're
all
not ready.
All those scenarios,
you know,
sure.
The reason that men can't do what Reg was talking about, saying, I'm here for you, honey, I love you and I want to support you and let's get through this together, is because we don't raise our boys to be fathers. We basically, I think, spiritually neglect our boys. We send them to go play sports or do that activity or that, but we don't prepare them to be fathers from childhood on up. And we need to. And the way to do that is by teaching them to serve in the home, to serve their mom, their brothers and sisters, to be
in a self-donative and loving way, not in a way, oh, just go do the chores.
To be an apprentice to the dad, working alongside of dad as he's serving and loving the family.
Well, look at that image we're always given of St. Joseph, right, as we talk about him today and throughout the year. Almost every statue of St. Joseph is him discipling Jesus in the craft of carpentry or being alongside of him in some way. It is that discipleship relationship.
Holding him in his arms.
How to be a human being, how to be a man. It's what fathers are called to do.
So for men to be able to do what Reg was just talking about, we need to be raising our boys to realize that they find themselves by making a gift of themselves. And that is how we prepare men, prepare boys to be truly men and the fathers that they are meant to be. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about fathers on this Father's Day weekend, and we have two questions. First, for the men, what challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you feel you're being called to be, the father you're trying to be, the father that your kids need you to be? And for the ladies out there, what challenges do you face as you try to support the father of your children in being the man God is calling him to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day that comes to us from Psalm 103, verse 13.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
You know, the Catechism tells us that parents are the face of God to their children. And this verse really reminds me of that, that we as faithful dads need to do everything we can to show the face of God's love to our children. And very often, we weren't raised to do that, as I was just talking about. So I'm putting a call out to parents here especially to really think about how you're raising your boys. You know, are you raising your boys to be affectionate? Are you raising your boys to be servants? Are you raising your boys to be faithful and to be able to be prayerful? These are the things that allow us to be compassionate fathers, as Psalm 103 reminds us. Again, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God has compassion on us. It's infinite, his compassion for us, but we often have a hard time relating to that compassion because our own fathers lacked that compassion. Let's challenge each other today to do more, to be those godly men that God needs us to be. 877-573-7825.
And if you're hearing that and saying, yeah, I do struggle in some way, or my spouse struggles in some way because we didn't have that compassionate father in that role in the way that we needed it, if you're dealing with wounds that have been settling in your heart or mind because you didn't have the kind of dad you needed, we're here to help you heal from that as well. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
More to Life will continue with your calls about fatherhood today. 877-573-7825. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about fatherhood on our Father's Day edition of More to Life. We're heading into Father's Day weekend, of course, and so we're asking you two questions. First, men, what challenges do you face in your attempts to be the father that you want to be, the father your kids need you to be, the father God is calling you to be? And for the ladies out there, what challenges are you facing as you try to support the father of your kids in being the man God is calling him to be? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nevada.
Mike, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Go ahead.
Oh, great, great. I just turned off my AC. Hello, Mr. Popchek, Ms. Popchek. I'm a parent to six kids, and five of them are my stepkids. One's my biological, and while I've known them for years, I could say that the hardest thing, the hindrance about me being their parent, being a father, is that their own biological father not only abused them in the past, but walked out on them in a very dramatic way.
So let me, I just want to clarify here. So these are your wife's children, and you've adopted them. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
And you said that I have to say, I heard you say that their mothers or fathers have walked out on them. That's the only part that confuses me. Did you just say that their father had?
Oh, sorry, no. Their father had, yes.
Okay. All right. And do they have any connection with him at all at this point, or is he completely out of the picture?
He's completely out of the picture.
Okay.
So what's the situation, and how old are the kids? What's the range here, Mike, just so I can get a picture of those?
I have there are two 13-year-olds, one 12-year-old, one 11-year-old, one 6-year-old, and then my own one-year-old.
Okay, and you've been in their lives for a long time now?
Yes. So it's, I think, since their father left them.
How long has that been? How many years?
Well, it's about 5 years.
Okay. All right, so what can we do for you today? What's something that we can kind of talk through here?
Well, my thing is, my point is that for me as a parent, it's letting them let a guy lead, letting me, dad, take charge, not in an overbearing way, but to, like, parent them in a loving, nurturing way. They're against my wife's family. They're very anti-intellectual. They're against schooling. They're more into video games. They're more into, like, to listen to the teacher. Now the teacher doesn't know anything. As a college background, for me, it's letting the kids trust me that I know what's good for them as far as getting to high school, getting to college, building their academic worth, building their spiritual foundation, which I never had before. And I always get that comment saying, I'm not the real dad, or now we're at a point where I am their dad. But I'm so different from the regular dad that they just want to tune me out all the time.
So you're trying to do some really good things, okay? But the sense that I'm getting, right, is that those good things you're trying to do aren't working as well as you'd like because the connection isn't as strong as it needs to be between them. Now, part of that is because they're afraid to trust you because their biological dad walked out on them. And there's another part of it, though, that I think that there's a lot you can do, right? It's all about building attachment with them. And what does that require? Well, it requires making sure that you're getting lots of one-on-one time with the kids, and two, that you are being responsible for creating strong rituals in the household where you guys are working together, praying together, playing together, and talking together every day. There's a lot there, and I'm going to give you some resources to build on that. But my point is that for your kids to tune into you, to be able to follow along with you, for you to be able to be that discipleship parent that you want to be, it's going to require finding ways in to connect with their hearts one-on-one, taking them out for breakfast, you know, taking them to the store with you, you know, doing things around the house together, you know, not just saying, hey, stop playing video games and hey, let's do your homework, right? Those are good things, right? But the point is they're not just going to put down their game controller and pick up their school book and, you know, say, yay. You know, there has to be this sort of, you know, Mike has been here for us in ways that nobody else has ever been here for us. Mike has invested in our, you know, in our lives in ways that nobody else has ever invested in our lives.
I feel so connected with his heart and my, you know, my heart to his heart. I want to take his lead. I want to learn what he knows. I want him to teach me some of the things that he learned in college so that it seems interesting to me. I want to hang out with him and do fun things with him because I feel connected to him because he's put in the time.
Yeah. And the like again, the best way to do that is by working really hard to every day get some one-on-one time with each of those kids, and secondly, make sure that you are establishing rituals in your home for working and playing and talking and praying together every day, because those are the things that allow you to model healthy Christian attitudes toward work and leisure and relationship and faith. We talk about this in, okay, I want you to pick up two books because your heart's really in the right place. I hear that. Okay. But I think that there's more that you can do to really break through these walls that they've put up and make this connection that would make them want to turn to you. But you're going to have to adjust your approach a bit. So I want you to pick up a copy of The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. I think it's really going to open your eyes in some things. But the other book I want you to pick up is our brand new edition of Parenting, let's see, Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, because most of your kids are in that
direction, yeah.
So, because we have 2 volumes now. We have Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. It's the 3rd edition of our classic parenting book, Parenting with Grace. We broke it up into 2 volumes after people's request. So this book actually talks about how to create the kind of relationship with your kids that's a discipleship relationship, that turns their heart to yours so that you can bring their heart to God, that turns their heart to yours so that you can teach them the values that you're trying to convey without it becoming a power struggle. How do you break through that resistance? How do you build strong attachment, even, you know, in step kid relationships, in adoptive parent relationships? These methods work in all of those places. And I think it's going to make a huge difference in your life. It's more than we can get into in the show today, but those 2 books, I think, are going to change your whole perspective and really open up some avenues of connection that you haven't explored before. So that's The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Both of those are available at CatholicCounselors.com. For you and other listeners, I'm going to give you another resource that's absolutely free. So we talk about... Sorry, our phone is listening.
Siri listens to all.
Yeah, well, so it's an absolutely free resource. So on Facebook, we have a discussion group called Catholic Home. HOM stands for Households on Mission. If you search that, every day we talk, we have about 3,000 families who are part of that group. And every day we talk about what it means to be a really on fire, faithful Catholic family. And it's very real. People share their struggles. We talk about, you know, all those difficulties that we all encounter. But it's all about living an authentically Catholic family life and how to build the kind of connection that turns our kids' hearts to us so that we can bring their hearts to God. And I think that having that daily support in that discussion group would be tremendously helpful to you, Mike, and to lots of other parents as well. So if anybody who's listening would like to be part of that group, you can just go on Facebook and search Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, Family Discipleship, and we'll let you into the group. We'd love to have your voice there. But Mike, the key here is you have to invest more in the emotional bank account, if you will, in order for you to be able to afford the changes you want to see in your kids, right? And it's going to require you to be a more engaged parent than you ever thought you'd need to be.
Even if it means listening to them about what happened in their video game that day, you need to start investing in that.
But the both of those books will really talk you through how to do that in real detail, and I think it's going to make a difference for you. Again, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. You can pick up both of those at CatholicCounselors.com, CatholicCounselors.com, or wherever books are sold. I want to thank you for calling in, Mike. We're going to add your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you in your journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on the show. And that goes for all of you listeners. Thank you so much for, you know, your calls and for, you know, letting us share this part of your journey together. It's hard to be a godly dad, and it's hard to know how to support the father of your kids in being the man, the father that God is calling him to be. We've got lots of resources to help you do that at CatholicCounselors.com. Check them out. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more about that at CatholicCounselors.com as well. With that, I hope you have a very blessed Father's Day weekend. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.